Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and with me now two guests with a new book about life during the war that's still going on in Syria by someone who lived it, accompanied by vivid illustrations of what the war looked like on the ground when he was there. The book is called Brothers of the Gun, and it's written by Marwan Hisham, a native of Raqqa, and illustrated by artist Molly Crabapple, who are both here with me now. And Molly's illustrations are now on view, I will add, at the Brooklyn Public Library Central Branch in Brooklyn with an audio tour by Marwan. You can see those images and hear his stories in the library's main lobby now through June 30th, the main branch of the Brooklyn Public Library. So welcome to WNYC. Marwan on the phone from Turkey, I understand, and Molly here in our studio. Hi.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for having me.
Marwan, much of this book is written from your home city, Raqqa, which, as our listeners probably know, was fought over again and again and actually became the de facto capital of ISIS for a few years, which you describe in your writing. Before the war, you describe Raqqa as this kind of sleepy, backwards town that you and your friends wanted to leave. What was it like then, and how did your relationship with the city change because of the war?
So I grew up on the outskirts of the city, and the community there is not educated in general. And most of it, it's agricultural land there. And so people had many lived in superstitions and generally uneducated. And but there was the young people, the young generation, normally had better education. And when there was an opportunity to change this, the situation, the traditions, everything basically, young people took the initiative and started to protest.
And by that, you mean the Arab Spring protests, which I see drew you in, and you describe in the book that movement as one piece of an international universal struggle against dictators, army, and corruption. Do you think that you were too hopeful, too idealistic? Did you anticipate the kind of mass murderous response that you wound up getting from Assad?
Yeah, definitely. We were even naive. We got inspired by the Arab Spring protest, and when we started to see dictators fall in Tunisia and then in Egypt, we thought that the same thing could happen in Syria. We can have finally a democracy. Actually, in the 30s and 40s, our country was in a better situation. Right after the French mandate, we had a democracy then, and everyone is nostalgic about it. But then, mainly because of the Arab-Israeli struggle, dictators allied themselves with the Soviet Union and adapted so-called socialist policies that affected everyday life and affected even the education system, the communities where Syria was closed, and people had no access to the outside world. So when young people for the first time started to see it as one movement, because with the borders and everything, the Arabs do still see themselves as one, big community. They get affected by each other, and there was a hope that we can, all of these countries can end up in a better situation, and that the whole world would support us. But obviously, when geopolitics started to have effect. Everything else, all of these ideas disappeared.
Yes. So, Molly, a big part of this book, obviously, is your drawings, which take scenes that Marwan describes and turns them into these really vivid ink illustrations. Where did this idea come from to do this? And have you spent time over there, or were you working from images he provided or described?
Well, me and Marwan started working together in 2014 in a series of collaborations that began when he was still in Raqqa. Marwan then sent me photos of daily life under the ISIS occupation, taken at intense risk to himself, and he provided captions to them. We repeated this experiment in Mosul and in rebel-held East Aleppo. But as me and Marwan got to be closer, and also as our projects got a lot of attention, we decided that we wanted to do something bigger. We decided we wanted to do a book that was about Marwan's whole experience in the war. And I just want to note also that I co-wrote the book with Marwan, and Marwan heavily art directed the work. So in some ways, both the art and the words, they're...
So you're not just the illustrator, you're a co-author.
Yeah, no, I'm a co-author of the book. In the course of doing this book, I went to Turkey 12 times. I also reported myself on the Syrian war and the refugee crisis in Iraq, in Lebanon, in Turkey, in Greek refugee camps, and I even went into Syria myself for a day. But in terms of how we did the work for the book, I always thought one of the great powers that art has is that, unlike photography, you don't have to be there. So in places where power censors, in places where there's a totalitarian religious regime that's keeping people from taking photos, in places where there are prisons, where there are checkpoints, photographers can't usually work there, right? But artists can. And the drawings in this book are based, by and large, upon Marwan's memories. To do stuff like this, I would interview him, he would give me sketches, sometimes he would pose for me. If there was something like a specific energy drink that a fighter drank, he would find me a picture of that energy drink. And I would do all these sketches over and over, and then he would say, no, no, no. And finally, we would get something that approximated the truth in his eyes. He said it was like downloading his memories.
Fascinating. So did you yourself spend time in Syria while ISIS was in control of an area you were in?
The only Western journalists that were spending time in areas that ISIS was in control of were in execution videos later. I did not. I went to Azaz, which is a town on the border that ISIS had just been kicked out of. And one of my big memories of it was ISIS had all of these murals that they had put up of kind of their logo. And people in the town had painted them over in hot pink and orange, and they had put in a Quranic verse which says there is no compulsion in religion.
And many of your images in the book are like streetscapes and people and buildings, less battle scenes than what someone may have seen day to day in ordinary times. Why focus on that as much as you did?
I think that in America, very often there's this idea that the Middle East is just a primitive place where war happens, and that it's a very racist idea. It's like everyone in the Middle East is riding a camel wearing a suicide belt through a bombed out street. And I was like, this is so dehumanizing, and this isn't true to how people live, right? And also, I think this narrative in some ways enables America to continue bombing the Middle East, because Americans don't think that the Middle East had ever been different. And what me and Marwan really wanted to do was we wanted to get beyond the cliches of broken bodies and broken cities and draw the resilience and the humanity of people in Raqqa, in Aleppo, and Mosul.
Marwan, I see that part of the book is the stories of two of your friends, Nael, who joined the fight against government forces and was killed while fighting, my sympathies, and Tariq, who became an Islamic fighter, Islamist fighter as well. Was there pressure on you to join the war on any side, and did you consider it?
Yeah, definitely. It was, I mean, the struggle about what to do, especially started when the Assad regime cracked down on protests. So there was no margin to protest or do anything. So the choices, three choices you had, either go back to what you think is normal life and forget about it, or leave the country, or join the armed rebellion. And yeah, my friends did that, and lots of protesters, they simply could not give up. And they thought that such a brutal regime cannot be removed except through force. So yeah, we always had these discussions, but I did not believe in any militarized revolution. And there were countries pushing for it to turn into a civil war. So I saw no point in that, because like the obvious result would be the destruction of the country and killing people. And so after all, whatever outcome you come up with, after suffering destruction and death, it will not be good.
And part of your story describes an internet cafe that you helped run when you were in Syria, partly because you needed a strong internet connection yourself, and the ISIS fighters who hung out there also wanted internet connectivity. And many of Molly's images show those young men and others in the city with cell phones and tablets in their hands. What was that like? Describe that scene and your interactions with people from ISIS, who Americans, you know, in general, just can't even imagine interacting with.
So one of my nephews joined them for a training camp for 40 days before his mother tried everything to get him out. And she succeeded in that. But the thing is that even after that, he turned into a completely different person. And so this was for me a way to, you know, to see those people, how can they get into especially young people's minds and change them completely, to the degree when they were, some young ISIS fighters literally killed their fathers because they thought they were apostates and they held different opinions. So, there's so many things. They completely isolated this young generation from the older ones, and I wanted to interact with them. And I always was interested in jihadi groups, like back when I was watching TV about Al-Qaeda fighters. And since I had a religious background, I studied Sharia law.
So for you, yeah, as it was a journalist.
Yeah, it was important for me to see, you know, to also reflect upon the religion itself and how those people who claim to implement it, how they behave and how they hold these views, mm-hmm. And end up with the most heinous crimes and
that they did,
brutal punishments.
And
yeah.
So, Molly, what goes through your mind as you're drawing someone you know as a member of ISIS who maybe killed their father or did something else that Marwan describes in the book?
One of the things with drawing is that when you draw, you don't make moral judgments like that. I remember, this is some years ago, but I was in Guantanamo Bay and I was drawing the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed hearings. And I'm a New Yorker. I was in New York when Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the guys working for him, murdered 2,000 of my neighbors. I remember that day very vividly. And I was sitting in the courtroom and there he was with his friends. And I was drawing him and I was just thinking about the technical aspects of drawing his face. And then, you know, before and after, you think differently. I have one drawing in the book that is perhaps the one that me and Marwan are proudest of, which shows the cafe that Marwan worked in with all of these wounded ISIS fighters checking out their tablets and, you know, taking selfies and Skyping. And they all have bits of themselves blown off. Like, one of them's missing an arm, one of them's missing a leg. They're wearing their suicide belts and their AK-47s. And when you think about doing that thing, of course, they're vile, nauseating people. But when you're actually drawing it, you're just thinking about how to balance all the lights and the darks.
Marwan, what's the future of Syria?
Well, that is impossible to answer, but Syria is now divided. People are divided politically, and it's de facto also divided. We have three major powers controlling wide areas, and I think we will end up with a divided country for not officially, but practically for probably a decade or so. And I'm not sure if they will ever see a political solution to it.
The book is called Brothers of the Gun, A Memoir of the Syrian War. The authors are Marwan Hisham and Molly Crabapple. And I'll mention one more time that Molly's illustrations are now on view at the Brooklyn Public Library Central Branch with an audio tour by Marwan. You can see her images from the book and hear his stories in the library's main lobby now through June 30th. If you want more information on that, we've put it on our page, wnyc.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Good luck to both of you, and thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.